What it is, what is up, what is good, gamers? This is ShownF71, aka Digadulamite.
Purple Bling Bling, y'all.
Your auditory canals are tuned into episode 240 of the Gaming Vessels podcast. Of course, I'm not in the digital studio alone. Along with me, got my partners in crime first on deck. It's Dez, aka the Bay Area Terror, aka the High Res Lover.
That's me.
Aka the Cat Daddy, aka That Gamer Step Daddy. What's going on, man?
Hey, not much. Just happy to be here. I was on vacation last week, so it's good to be back. Went to Palm Springs. Hung out by the pool. It was nice, calm. It was great. One thing, though, it was funny. So I've had a bit of a tummy ache for the last, 24 hours. A bit of a rumbly tumbly. Because we went to see Jerry Springer, the musical, in San Jose. And then Paul had found a Caribbean restaurant to eat at. I'm like, okay, cool, I can find something to eat. And we were with our friend Ken, and I'm like, busting his chops, hope you're able to find something that you can eat that's not gonna bust up your guts, ha ha ha, not too spicy, ha ha ha, and to tell you the truth, so I had this, I don't know if you know about Caribbean food, but they put Scotch bonnet peppers in almost everything. So it could be really spicy. And so I got this fried fish. So it's like a red snapper, but it's like a whole red snapper that's been seasoned and fried. So it's got the head on it, bones, everything. And there was this steamed veggies and this black rice, and it was really good. So I was like, oh, great, So I'm trying to eat this, fish off the bone, took the head off and everything. And it was good. Like it was bomb. I was really enjoying this, but it was kind of spicy too. And so I kind of got away from the spicy stuff and it was okay. And then I'm sitting there eating the rice and I thought it was like a carrot or something. And I ate like a big chunk of a Scotch bonnet pepper. Had no idea what it was. My mouth started burning, y'all. It was like, oh damn. I had never eaten anything this hot in my life. And I was like, and because I ate it, right? And instead of like my dumbass, I didn't spit it out. I swallowed it. So I swallowed it and it just like burned all the way going down. I'm sitting here dying, like trying to drink water. I'm trying to eat anything to dilute the heat that was coming off this stuff into my mouth. I was like, it was bad. It was really, really bad. And I'm just like sitting here crying, like, please God, just kill me, right? Just do something. Like, and we had these plantains. And so I was eating the plantains and I was like mushing it on the top of my mouth, trying to like deaden it. Cause like, it was like the top of my mouth was just like on fire. I think I literally burnt the top of my mouth. So I was like, ah, I'm trying to drink water. So I had the water in my mouth and I'm like holding the water in my mouth, trying to like cool off my mouth. So I'm like sitting there with like this full mouthful of water, just trying very hard. And Ken is sitting there laughing his ass off because here I am talking about him being too spicy and I'm over here dying. And he's like, that's what you get. That's what you get. And I'm like, shut up. So it was, oh my God, it was like I have never had anything like this in my life. And I'm just, oh my God, I was just like, y'all are crazy for this. So whoo, it was
like,
it was
your own little version of man versus food, huh?
Yeah, oh my God, right. And then so because
hot ones.
Yeah, before I knew it was a pepper. The Scotch bonnet pepper. I went up to the woman and I was like, you put little peppers in it. What are the peppers, right? And she was like, hold on. And so she asked the chef, and he came out. And he's like, oh yeah, the Scotch bonnets. And I was like, oh, and he's like, oh, you got one, huh? You ate one, huh? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you okay? And I'm like, I'm getting there. And he's like, all right, bro. If you need anything, let me know. And I was like, all right, thank you. Ooh, it was rough, yo. It was rough. I'm saying, you Caribbeans, they know what's up. I couldn't do it. I was like, I'm dying. I was dying.
So. At least your sinuses got all cleared up and stuff, right? You were like running for days.
No, it's the thing. It wasn't like a wasabi type thing. No. It was in my throat and in my gut. And so So I'm all sitting there trying to like eat popcorn at the theater, right? Because I'm trying to get someone to sop up some of this spice. Then I'm just like praying to God and have to go to the bathroom, right? So then we get in the car. And it's like a 50-minute, drive from like Concord to San Jose. So I was like, please God, I got home and I ate some Tums and I was just like, please just let me be okay. It was no joke. So all you folks out there that can eat like Caribbean food and you like laughing at me at this, y'all can have it, because it was too much. Like, it was good though, like the fish was good, but that, oh no, it was, whoo, it was, it literally came in and slapped me around and asked for my money. Like, I couldn't do it. It was too much.
Ran your pockets, huh?
It really did. That pepper said, run me that cash, son. And I was like, here you go. Take it off, please. Just stop hitting me in the face. It was bad. But other than that, I'm happy to be back. Happy to be playing games. Yeah, very happy to be back. Thank you so much.
All righty. Of course, our show is a no-go without Trader Joe, a.k.a. Jabroni Chief. But you might also know him as the Food Max of Gaming, who can maximize your gaming dollar. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. As told many times on this very show, you play with GameStop, you eventually gonna get burned. So, I'm waiting for a chargeback on a couple of what they call web in-store orders. And, because in their 50% off sale, I had all these like niche games. It's like, oh crap. Oh, I'm going to order this. Oh, wait. And then went into the store twice last Sunday because we weren't recording, idle hands, the devil's playground over here, see me sitting ordering games left and right. And, I didn't know why, but the order is like, we were just sitting in the unfulfilled, like, hey, we're getting this order ready to go. So I let both orders kind of linger until Wednesday. And I just straight asked, I looked at it and I said, okay, I'm going to cancel these orders. I canceled them both. I ordered everything that I ordered in the two orders in one online order, like a regular online order. Both of those combined gave me free shipping. And within 10 minutes, it says prepping for shipping. It was already into the next stage on there, So
well, that's good.
I called .com and .com basically says, this GameStop.com said, well, since you do the web in store, you need to go to the actual retail store to get a refund since you paid with your credit card. And so it's like, okay, I went to my local store. I eventually got there like on Friday and the manager gave me this like crazy ass look, like, what the hell are you asking me to do? Wind up calling .com again, toll free. And then they said they're working on it, but, they said, give us 5 business days, not including Saturdays or Sundays. It's like, come on. It's a credit card chargeback. How many times have you seen a credit card chargeback take 5 business days? So,
wow.
And then on the cheap-ass gamer forums, they basically tell me, you're screwed, dude. You better put a chargeback on your credit card because they're never going to give you your money. I guess one person they lost gift card credit or like trade-in credit because of the fact that they had to deal with GameStop. So, and so, I guess the manager,
they on life support, bro.
They throw pity on them, But yeah, I made another order last week too that was unrelated, but it was sitting in like preparing at a particular store waiting for a pickup from FedEx for an entire week. So I had to call to get that expedited, which is finally expedited. But yeah, It's like, I don't know about this corporation anymore. I don't know about ordering anything through their website because they're all fulfilled by stores. They're all like kind of hit and miss. I happened to see a YouTube video from someone having the outrage because all their games came with, like, you know, new games came with that circle seal, you know, that little plastic seal they put on the copy of the gut. So, it's like, you know, people not and unfamiliar with GameStop doesn't know all the ins and outs that, you know, they're going to sell you the shelf copy with the, like, nicks and sticker residue and all that crap on it, you know, so. So it is what it is. You, like I said, play with GameStop, you're eventually going to get burned.
Yep. And you did, my friend, unfortunately.
That's okay. So I'm going to use my credit card chargeback. I'm waiting until Wednesday. I love the fact that, you know, I didn't, the manager was super cool. He's always been good with me. It's another guy named Joe. But man, he is defending his store to no end on there. So I watched some people come in with a .com order. I guess if you go to GameStop.com, if you order Final Fantasy VII Rebirth on the website, it says you go in store and get your pre-order bonus, which is just some crappy looking trucker hat, which is on my floor right now. And he straight up like read them the riot act, said, I don't have any additional hats to give you. I have, you know, hats to give to my paying customers that decided to reserve the game in store. And so it's like, are you sure that the website said no? Nope. We don't have any additional hats. I'm sorry.
Damn. And
he gave his like assistant manager like the riot act after he walked in after those customers left on there. And he said just all sorts of stuff going on with these hats on there. But guess what? Guess what the cool manager did? He handed me a hat on my way out here. Here, have a hat. So I have this hat. So,
damn.
He basically told me that the people ordering from .com are not helping this store, so he does not care in the slightest. So,
jeez Louise. All right. I mean, hey, that's his.
So,
I'm repping the company. Not repping the company. It's all about the local store. Hmm?
Yeah. No. You're not bumping up my pre-order. Pre-ordering in my store. Piff piff. Now with your pre-order bonus.
Get out. Stay out.
Piff piff. Yeah, I can't remember the last. I'm not ordering anything from GameStop online at all.
Yeah, you're running the dice. They're being shipped from stores, so you know. It's kind of funny. There's like the running joke on if you go to Cheap Ass Gamer and look at the forums. It's like, you know, they run the running tally. Okay, I ordered like 20 games. How many are gonna come like, you know, ungutted, you know, or gutted? And some people be having like, okay, they said this game's supposed to be in the box. It's not in the box on here. They had one guy said he ordered like Minecraft Dungeons Ultimate, and he wound up getting RBI Baseball, and then they had to go and like had to go. And we need to research this fully because you know they want to determine that they're not getting ripped off by this lone customer, you know, saying that, hey, I got the wrong game in the box, kind of thing. So. Pulling teeth to try to like put your customer through the gauntlet just because of the fact that your employees can't even competently throw games in a box and throw a label on it.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why they're on life support. There is a reason why.
As people on Cheap Ass Gamer forums too that stated that, oh, I ordered this game, it wasn't even in the box, and according to the packing slip, it's supposed to be there. So same situation. So it's like we'll have to see. My order's starting to come in tomorrow, so we'll see what happens. I'll have to get the running tally next episode just to let you guys know what happened. And
good luck.
Credit card chargeback, you know. But I got them deals. Oh, boy, look at me.
Good luck, my friend. Yep. Good luck.
Playing GameStop roulette.
You know it.
That's not my money.
I'm going to hold that line. Hold my credit card line.
Not my money. Yeah. Have fun, yo.
Well, the GameStop roulette game, while that's being played, we're also going to talk a little bit about what we've been playing over the past 2 weeks. So we're going to run the playlist up next. So let's kick things off with Jabroni. What you been playing, man?
As far as my main games, mainly it's been as far as the games I've been playing with people in the community like Dez or Guni. Tiny Tina Wonderlands has been like kind of our multiplayer game the last couple of weeks on there. Still enjoying that. I'm running a Berserker build on here, and I'm really enjoying just getting into the game. And it's like, even though I don't know half the time what's going on with the plot, because Dez is like pushing on with the story, and I'm rolling around trying to open chests and do other random crap, you know. So I'm still having a fun time with it. So, you know, I'm going to see if I can beat this game to the end. I'm going to look to see. I have another, like, character that I only got up to level 5 with that I might try to play solo just so I can get some of the more of the story beads. But it's Borderlands. It's Tiny Tina. It's not like it's like the, especially the side missions. It's kind of just kind of ancillary, kind of fun, you know, so. On there. Division 2 played a little bit with Gurneil. Probably is not as much as he wanted me to play with him in the last couple weeks, but I wound up getting into the mix. I joined a particular guild on here. So I joined a clan on here because Gurneil found this particular YouTuber that has a quite active Discord. It's a GC Rock on here. I guess he has YouTube and Twitch videos dedicated to Division 2. And so I am part of a clan, but I haven't really done much with Gurneil and getting in with the clans. I know he is diving into doing the raids and whatnot. And from what he told me, like, I guess, you know, he went on his first raid and he said, okay. And he was told, like, to do these ancillary, like, you know, cleanup duties while the main people in the clan, like, well, you know, held their own, quote unquote, you know. So.
Wow. Anyway,
like Goonie is left, like, you know, with the trash can and the, like, he's on janitorial raid duties or whatnot, you know. So.
Sounds fun.
As far as any solo stuff, actually, I have been using my Switch, surprisingly. So it's like I haven't really fired up the Switch since the month of Xbox on there, and so I finally fired it up, kind of enjoying that Nitro deck, even though I am very irritated that they announced a new Nitro deck with a bunch of new features a couple weeks ago, but c'est la vie. Playing Dragon Quest 1 again, went back into that, started a new save, and just love that kind of old school RPG business on there, so I'm looking to beat that game. Finally, I played Dragon Warrior back in the day on the NES, and it's like I never had the wherewithal to beat it back then, and so I've fired.
Now you have guides.
I know. They have guides now, so, but I'm not actually using a guide. I'm kind of going off of memory from my last playthrough to see where I'm at, and I'm kind of min-maxing everything I'm doing, and everything's cool. It's probably going to be a couple more hours, and it's not too terribly long. Hopefully, we'll see, but I'm going to see if I could play Dragon Quest 2 and Dragon Quest 3 afterwards on the Switch. So, also playing Dragon Quest 11. I finally fired that up after a long pause on the PlayStation on here. I know I played it also on Xbox at one point in time, but decided to play it on, of course, PlayStation, you know, so, but... I just wanted a game to chill. And this happened to be where no one was online, and I had to figure out, okay, what game am I going to play? Oh, wait, Dragon Quest XI it is. So, still playing Helldivers 2 a little bit. Been playing with, you know, the community, if not need be. I know we were playing with Ace Black, you know, so enjoying that. I think I'm up to level 13. I haven't really been playing it outside of, like, any sort of community game, that kind of thing, so...
Yeah, well, I know the servers were kind of messing up for a minute there, so I totally understand. But yeah, we kind of put it into the back burner just a little bit. But I would like to get back into it as well with the folks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back. I know we still have some videos being posted up on our Discord on there. I know there's probably some God tier loadouts if need be, and know that they're going to introduce mechs into the game pretty soon. So. Also went to my friend Nick's house, and of course, he has a nice arcade on here, so happened to play, like, a few games last night, including Marvel Super Heroes. He has one cabinet that's an old Taito cabinet based on, like, if you remember Jungle Hunt, Jungle King on there, but he has a particular FPGA, like, kind of board with a bunch of different games on it. I go towards that cabinet because... It's all these simple games with one button on here. So they have things like Galaga, Galaxian, Pac-Man, so on and so forth. But there's some obscure games I've been playing. I've been playing this game called Nibbler, if you don't remember it from back in the day.
I do.
Name sounds familiar. I can't place the game, though.
Yeah, it's like you're in a maze and you're like gobbling up like pellets or whatnot. It's kind of like Pac-Man-like, but every time you digest an item, your snake gets longer, basically. And it's like that game Snake, basically, where you have to make sure you don't run into your own tail.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
Imagine you combine Pac-Man with like Snake, and basically that's what Nibbler is. So.
Okay.
Also, there's another
something like that. They call it Snafu.
Yeah, I think it's similar to that.
Similar, yeah.
This other game called Abscam, I play it every time I go there, but basically it's a Pac-Man ripoff variant. But you basically play as a congressman sitting there eating dollars instead of like
on okay. There.
He's running from the voters.
FBI. There's like FBI, four FBI cars that are on the playfield, and so. Yeah. It's actually based on a particular case in Congress that these congressmen got accused of stealing from their constituents. So that's what this game is based on. So you know, it's kind of funny. They got instead of the middle, like where the ghosts come out of, it says FBI headquarters on there. And then you got the little FBI cars coming after you. So. I just find it funny because it's like a Pac-Man variant, but it's actually kind of hard and a little bit skillful as far as trying to run through that. There's another game called Disco Number 1, which I never played back in the day, but it's like kind of a Kix variant on here. But you like this dude trying to find these fine girls on the dance floor and draw a box around them like Kix, if you remember Kix. So. And you're running away, from these... guys coming out on the floor trying to like bouncers, and you're there's this janitor that's always erasing your line for whatever reason. So it's like very silly game, but I kind of enjoy it because it's hard too. So and I played some Pingo last night too, which
I remember that game.
Yeah, so I had to remember exactly what I need to do in that, but you know, I got on this like retro game kick thanks to Nick. So he just recently bought and restored a Millipede machine, and actually it's like original, like, you know, hardly used because it was a private collector's Millipede. So So I got a chance to play Millipede for a bit, and it's been a year and a day since I played that game. So on there. And, you know, if you're looking for an arcade machine, I don't know, Kev, I know you never have the room, but, you know.
I'd have to move first. Literally, yeah. I'd have to move first. I ain't got the space.
I also played some Konami Arcade Classics because I was in that retro mood on there. So I was playing some Scramble right before the recording. So it's pretty much all I've been up to, what I've been playing. So, Dez, what you been up to? What you been playing, dude?
What I've been playing? So a lot of Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. Really into it. Very, very fun game. I didn't really get into it the first time that I was playing it. I don't know why, just wasn't really hitting, but now like I just am really ready to play it and beat it. I have really enjoyed it. So I will definitely be continuing on and playing it to its inevitable conclusion. So I will be beating the game now. About the DLC, I'm not really sure what I'm be doing with the DLC. I might play it. I know you were wanting to play it, if I remember, JoJo, you're wanting to play it.
So, I own it, so I mean,
yeah, so do I. So it's like that's why I'm kind of like, well, I might as well just go ahead and just, you know, do it, because I've been having a lot of fun with it. So might as well just go ahead and finish it. So because I know we're past the halfway mark on the game. So just going to continue on and push it. And unlike what Joe was saying, I definitely know what's going on with the game. I pay attention to what they're saying, you know, so it's not my fault. Joe's all running around being crazy, you know, and
I mean, you could wait for it, brother. you know,
while you look at every nook and cranny, you know. We only have so many minutes in our lifetime, sir. So, just saying. So, but yeah, we definitely talk about it. What else? So yeah, so Tiny Teen is great. Probably going to play some more of it. Been thinking about after this going back to try and see if Borderlands 3 hits better. I'm not sure. It probably won't, but we'll see. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with Tiny Tina's. Still playing Grim Dawn. Like I said, I play it about once. Once a week. I still try to get in there and keep playing it. I do enjoy it quite a bit. So I will continue to play it. And hopefully beat it, because I do know that they're coming out with finally a new expansion. So I'm kind of like, wow, let's see what we can do with this expansion, because I'm kind of, you know, I really want it to come to the PlayStation. I think that it would get so much more love on the PlayStation. So maybe we can do a change.org, because those are always so effective to get it.
Play it on the Xbox. Don't be a mustard heart over here.
A mustard heart? What did you call me, sir? A mustard heart? Okay. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I was channeling a little king there for a second. Sorry about that.
No, you do you, buddy. You want to do that? You definitely do that, my friend. So, anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted.
Hold that line.
Hold the line! and so then while I was away, I took my Switch with me. And while I was sitting at the pool, you know, avoiding, you know, getting a tan, and you know, they had those lounge chairs with the weird plastic things. Remember the weird plastic straps that go across and you lay on them, which is terrible. I think I bent a couple of them out. So, but what you do, what you're gonna do, right? So anyway, I played my Switch. So I was very excited. I played Citizen Sleeper, which was a game that I originally played on the Xbox, but it came to the Switch, and it plays much better handheld, meaning that it is a dice-driven visual novel. So you're basically a rogue robot who escaped ownership. And you put your intelligence into this other frame, and then you are trying to make your life on this space station. And that is the story. And you have these different dice rolls, randomly generated dice rolls, and they determine your success rate on trying to do various different activities on the starship. Sorry, on the space station, which will either help you or hinder you. And the story kind of unfolds as you're looking at various different progressions. It's been really fun so far. You do have to read, you know, it is a reading type of thing. So I usually play it when I'm not doing anything else and can really focus on it. But it's a really good, nice little handheld, because you could really escape into the game. And the artwork is just fantastic. The artwork is just super incredible. It's got this kind of like French anime sort of look to it. The color schemes are really good. Very, very good. Very good game. And then I started playing Shirin the Wanderer, the Tower of Fortune and the Dice of Fate. It is an old school dungeon crawler. One of those that where when you move, the enemy moves, when the enemy and stuff like that. And it's everything is turn-based. When you move, the enemy moves, and you basically have to do a strategic kind of dance to try to hit them before they hit you. It's fun. if a little bit esoteric, trying to get my my eyes and my head wrapped around the combat. It's just very interesting how you have to, you know, plan your movements. It's not bad or anything. It's just very, very weird trying to get everything into the move in the right way to get your stuff okay. To get yourself from getting hit. So they're coming out with a new one, another super long title, Shirin the Wanderer and the something with the something that does something to somebody. I don't know. It's very long titles. But it's been fun. It's been fun. It really works well on the Switch because it is a pixel-like game that just works well on that small handheld screen. I don't know if you know, but Joe and I are going to be going to Tokyo at the end of the month, and I'm excited to take my Switch there. I plan to be getting a bunch of Switch games while I'm there. We're trying to decide if the two of us are going to do a vlog while we're there and then post little clips on our newly created YouTube channel. So if you want to go check out this show, if you're you can go get it on YouTube as well. And I'm thinking about it'd be really kind of cool for Joe and I to do a little vlogs about our video game shopping. Let us know on the Discord or in the comments if you would love to see us two knuckleheads in Japan talking about the games that we're getting and playing some games. We're going to be going to some arcades as well. So yeah, just wanted to kind of throw that in there. But those are the only things that I've been playing right now. Kev, what have you been playing, sir?
So I haven't been playing a whole lot. I really haven't had a whole lot of time to play. I am still dabbling in Tekken 8. I'm still running with I'm running with Raven.
And it's funny. Real quick, it's funny because I see people. So I watch a lot of YouTube, and I watch Afro Samurai. He's one Afro Samurai something other. He's one of the he's a streamer, YouTube streamer, and he was talking about his, you know, playing and stuff like that. And there's just so many great content out there for folks who are playing Tekken. So I'm just saying it is great. And some of the stuff that people are doing and, you know, the trash talk is just some of the best type of stuff. And, you know, just if you ever want to just go out and look for him, just it's really good. And so I'm watching them play. And I just have so much respect for you, Kev, for playing that game.
Well, I haven't fought anybody yet.
Oh, okay.
I still got to learn the game. I'm still trying to learn the game. Once I learn the game, then I'll be hopping online. But no, I ain't fighting nobody yet.
Okay, good.
I already know I'm going to get washed, but at least I want to get washed understanding the game. And then I just have to work on the differences between skill.
There you go.
So yeah, so that's where I'm at now. But I'm working. I think Raven is going to be my main. I just like the character. There's no other reason other than I like the character. I want to have one other in the pocket though, and I have no idea what character that's going to be, because I'm starting to get the muscle memory for some of Raven's combos down, but in a way I kind of want a character that plays similar to Raven, but then I'm thinking, well, if I do that, I'll get my muscle memories confused because again, I'm old. Mm. So or do I want to go with a character who plays completely different, which is probably the route I'm going to wind up going, just so I don't get it mixed up. So I was thinking about going really old school and going with one of the Mishimas. I thought about running with Jin. I thought about running with Kazuya, which probably wouldn't be a bad idea because their moves are their moves are staples in the, they've been staples in the game, but they're really, they're one of the staple characters, you know, kind of along with Paul and Law. Or I might go with one of the newer characters, but I haven't crossed that bridge yet because I'm still running with Raven, trying to learn that, and still trying to learn just the core mechanics of Tekken 8. Period. You know, when your character goes into heat mode, what's the best, what opportunity are you looking for to activate that? When do you activate that? You know, how you put the best way to put characters into a, you know, into the bound state, and the best way to take advantage of all that. So still a lot of a lab work that I need to do with that game, but man, that game is so much fun. And playing on leverless makes that game's mechanics so much easier to digest. I'm not putting my wrists at risk of carpal tunnel anymore. It's just hitting buttons and just getting the rhythm down for how to properly execute the backdash cancel. One thing I have learned, or I've noticed, and it's been revealed in video, if you don't know how to do the back cancel, it's not critical for in the prior Tekken, you had to know. If you didn't know, you were at a substantial disadvantage. But in Tekken 8, they kind of even that out a little bit. The back cancel is still faster. But if you just hit backwards, the difference is only going to be made at a high level. So if you're running casuals, or you're, you know, at the low end or the mid end of the ranked, it's probably not going to make that big of a difference. You're not going to start noticing the difference in ground coverage until you start getting to the upper ranks, because Namco has made the decision to kind of reduce that skill differential considerably in favor of casuals and people just learning the game. There's also a simple mode that you can play in where certain buttons execute certain combos. So anybody coming in to the game will be able to do certain combos just off the bat. I haven't messed with that mode. I'll probably never mess with that mode. That to me, that's just not how a fighting game should be played. I have no problem with it being in there. It's just something that I'm not going to do. But I think it's a good training tool for people who have never delved into the world of Tekken. So I don't have a problem with it being in there, because I don't feel it takes away from the core mechanics of the game. Along with that, I've been playing some Helldivers 2. I've been running solo missions. I've run easy. Now I've bumped it up to mid difficulty. And I can actually now complete mid difficulty missions, at least the fighting the Terminids on mid difficulty. I can solo the automatons on easy. I get washed at mid difficulty fighting the automaton solo. You definitely need better gear, but I'm at a level now. I just reached level 13 last night, and that has opened up some stratagems that are particularly nasty toward the automatons. I'm talking specifically the autocannon sentry. That thing just shreds automatons. It's it's almost it's a requirement. I also got access to the laser rover. That was those two. The autocannon is the newest stratagem that I was able to get access to, and that just dropped for me last night, or whether I got access to it last night. And I've been, I kind of have a loadout that works for me when I'm running solo. Because if I'm not playing with people I know, I'm just not messing with the randos. Every time I go into a random game in Helldivers 2, it's always a problem. Someone's yelling mad because somebody accidentally shot somebody. Like the last time I played, this one dude like team killed somebody because he accidentally got killed, and the dude that killed him took his stuff. So he come, "You mother effer, you took my shit," killed him. And it's just like, I don't need this. I'm just trying to relax and play a game. I ain't trying to hear your nonsense. Some of y'all just take this game way too seriously. So I just run solo if I'm not playing with people I literally know. But I'm level 13 now, and I've been looking at some videos. I'm gonna have to really rethink my loadout, particularly with the armor. I'm seeing some content that's saying if you're running solo, you need to go with the lighter armor, because I've been running heavy armor since I've been playing the game. Just getting that slight buff for being able to take damage, and running solo, there seems to be a better benefit for mobility and stamina, as opposed to just straight up being able to take damage, because you're the only one on the battlefield. So everything's coming towards you, and the lighter armor lends to better mobility, getting in and out of skirmishes a little bit easier. So I know I've got a couple of light armor sets, so I'm going to have to go back and take a look and see which ones will better suited for solo play. I know I actually have opened up some in the the Gimme Money War Bond section. So I'm going to have to do some research into that particular light armor set, see if that one is worth getting. But still digging the game, still loving the game, having fun with that. Went to the Steam Deck again, and I downloaded this. It's actually a mod for one of the fan made games for Double Dragon Alternate. There is a version of it called Double Dragon Alternate Bootleg Edition.
Sounds great.
It's okay. It's a shame that stuff like this, that games like this will never see light of day on console or on Steam, because it breaks so many, you know, licensing rules. So you get to play as, of course, you know, Billy and Jimmy Lee. You also get to play as the variant, like, I don't know how many variants of Billy and Jimmy Lee that they have, and they all fight differently. Like, they've got one who does, and this is all based off the sprites of the original Double Dragon and Double Dragon 2 from the arcade. So that's what the sprites look like. They look just like the arcade version of those games. So you can also play as Frankenstein. You can play as the Chopper from Orange County Choppers. You play as all of the turtles from the original Konami version, arcade version of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You've got the Altered Beast arcade characters.
Okay.
You've got Jim Carrey's The Mask. There was an SNES version of The Mask, I believe, and you get to play as that sprite, which is absolutely bananas. You can also play as all of the enemy characters, you know, so Roper, a Bobo, and you know, all the different punk rocker, you know, thugs that you fight in Double Dragon. They're all there. And of course you get the wrestlers from WWE Superstars from that old school Tecmo game. They're all in there. And okay, they do this game has such crazy stuff. Like if you play as Ted DiBiase and you pick up something, because like there'll be like oil drums and rocks and the same stuff that you see in the arcade versions of Double Dragon 1, Double 2. When you pick up something as Ted DiBiase, instead of carrying it, he balances it on his head, and the audio will play the drum beat for Tainted Love. It doesn't make sense until you actually see it, and it just makes you just roll over laughing. If you're old enough to, it just puts you back in the 80s, you know, in the time when this game was in the arcade. And when you talk about a passion project, it is these games that really are true passion projects at a level that you rarely see. Like the last commercial game that I saw that I personally would consider a true passion project was RoboCop. And this game is made by just a bunch of people who just really love Double Dragon, and they're not getting any money for it. And it's just so much craziness. Like, they augmented the moves of the wrestlers. So like Randy Savage, when he does the body toss, he throws people completely off the screen. Like Hulk Hogan has like one shot pile drivers. And the difficulty is amped up to crazy. But the game is just, it almost makes the hell I went through to make the Steam Deck work worth it. Just playing these games or having access to these games in this more digestible format platform on the Steam Deck. Very awesome. These games are accessible through OpenBore, which is I guess for lack of a better word, it's like the engine that plays these games, but there's no real installation that you have to do. You just literally just download it and upzip. You may have to unzip the files. You find the executable and you play it. And the problem that I was running into was I had to just search high and low for an app on the Steam Deck that would execute these Windows files for me, because Steam Deck runs on a Linux kernel and Linux and Windows are not friends. So you have to try and find apps to bridge that gap. And the one that I'm using for that is this app called Litris, which comes pre-installed on the Steam Deck. But these games are just banana bonkers. Like Final Fight LNS, I have that on here finally, and that works. It just awesome beat 'em ups. And lastly, I have been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and oh my goodness, this is the type of game that you buy a console for. You know, it's the same thing that I said about Final Fantasy 16. Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth is just like from the jump, man. you literally see what Square Enix real talent is capable of. It's freaking bananas how good this game is. It plays very similar to Remake, but Rebirth adds certain new mechanics that just push the gameplay over the top. Like they kind of pulled from the Persona and the I'll just say Persona. I know there was another series that Atlus did that Persona was spawned from. I can't remember that series right now. But you can build relationships within the party. And as your bonds of friendship grow and you do these things when you come to certain story points in the game, and as you grow those bonds, it opens up new combat tag team things that you can do that don't take up meter, that they're just these hard-hitting attacks that you do with another character that you've built up a rapport with. And it just adds just that other layer of awesomeness to the combat sauce that's already there. Cloud still has his Punisher stance and his Operator stance for his sword. Each one plays a little bit differently. Each one has a different purpose in combat. They've actually kind of buffed Punisher in this one, because once you've hit an enemy enough times, he goes into like this unstoppable attack, and it's literally, you can't get knocked out of it. And it hits multiple targets on the screen. This combat is just so, it is chef's kiss, man. It is chef's kiss. I'm not ready to say that I don't think it's better than 16's combat, because I will still take Devil May Cry inspired stuff over RPG stuff any day. But the combat that's in 7 Remake is just different, but it's just as good as the combat in 16. It's just a different type. It's not turn-based, so you're not waiting for the enemy to hit you. It's still real time, but you can pause. You don't even really pause. You just put everything into a really slow motion effect, and then you can do your special attacks. You can run your magic. You can switch characters mid combo, and like you may want to go and start using Barret to blast something that's weak to projectiles or weak to a magic ability that you have linked to him. There's just so much variation that you can do, and with those the tag team abilities, it just makes the combat that much better. And they started messing with that with the DLC that came out with Final Fantasy VII Remake, where you play as the Wutai spies in Midgar. I can't remember the name of the ninja gal that you play as, and her underling. That's when they started messing with that, and they have perfected it with Rebirth, because it's the same basic mechanic, but they just improved it even since that DLC. And man, this game is so awesome. I'm not very far. I just basically made it. Well, the game starts as you're leaving Midgar. It brings you to this other town. It brings you to Calm, this town called Calm. And I'm just leaving that, and I'm getting toward a place where you get chocobos. I'll just say that. And this game is so freaking awesome. It's definitely in the run for my game of the year. It probably will wind up being my game of the year, even just this early. I know there's a bunch of stuff that hasn't come out yet that I'm super hyped to play, but man, It's one of those games for me that I think about when I'm not playing. And that's the same way I felt about Final Fantasy 16. And for me, those experiences are just like, this is what gaming is all about, where you actually think about the game when you're not playing it. And you wonder, you know, what's coming up next. And you think about the story elements. It's just like Square Enix hit this one out of the park, like big, big, big time. So that is what I have been up to for these past 2 weeks. And with that said, we're going to move on to what is always our next topic on our docket, where we get to hear from our community. So we got Vessel Line coming up next. All right, Dez, you got the mic, bro.
All righty. So the question that we have that we answered on our last show and that we posed for this show, that we posed to all of you out there, all of our fantastic, fabulous listeners, is, do you play games in easy mode, normal, or hard difficulty? No judgments. We just want to know your preference. And we'll talk about your answers on the next show. So we talked about a few different things, but most of us were like, you know, hey, we're pretty much in it for like whatever is intended, you know, for the from the developer. So we had a couple other people who answered. So Ren says, most games like RPGs, I tend to play on normal because I'm already not a fan of grinding and things like that in RPGs, and I'm more satisfied with a bit of challenge, mostly just accompanying the story. Meanwhile, for action games, I tend to play on the hardest difficulty because when it comes down to that, it's all just reactions and things I can improve on myself and adapt to, which makes me feel like I'm doing better myself than just having higher numbers in games. So yeah, so that's a very interesting thought about, you know, personal growth and wanting to challenge oneself, especially in games like action games. So yeah, I could definitely see the want to do that. And no one wants to grind in RPGs. I don't think anyone likes grinding in RPGs. God knows I don't. And it's really, really just terrible. Just a terrible way to spend your time having to grind. And I'm glad that most games have done away with that, because I think it was just a waste. Just a complete and utter waste. So do any of you two have any thoughts about what Ren said? How about you, Jabroni Chief? What are your thoughts about what Ren had to say?
Well, RPGs, it just depends. You know, I've been grinding a little bit with Dragon Quest 1, just because the game was made as being balls to the wall hard. Say that fast three times.
Yeah.
But I could totally understand where you're just trying to get the story beats and the mechanics and whatnot. You know, some games, it just depends on the difficulty. If they're like egregiously easy, I love the fact of bumping it up to hard. Dragon Quest 11 for me, I probably could have played it on hard mode, but I find that I want to get through the game. I know the game is really long, so I just want to play at my own pace and just leave it as is. So I definitely understand what he feels there. As far as action games, yeah, it just depends. I usually rock with normal and then kind of go up the line then from there. So that's how I usually roll. So.
How about you, Kev?
Well, that's why he's my nephew, because I play exactly the same way.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, action games play on the harder difficulties. RPGs I play typically normal. So yeah, it runs in the family.
Yeah, I can see that. Will D says, I try to play the game on the setting as per the developer's intention. If it is not fun on that setting, then I either bump it down or return it or give up on it. I don't understand why people get into arguments over game difficulty settings or even cheat codes for that matter. It's a game. This is why people bought a Game Genie and Game Shark. Break the game, have fun, and leave it at that. Agreed. I think definitely for single player games, you spent your money on the game. Play it the way you want it. And if the creators or the designers and developers tended to have a hard mode or a good mode or a less mode or easier mode, then yeah, you know, play that. It gives the player options in order to decide how they want to engage with what the developer has brought to the table. And I think that's the best thing. And yeah, you know, I definitely agree with you about that. Goonie, our longtime listener and friend, all these guys are, says, it depends on the game. If the game involves some sort of grind or farm, I'm going to turn down the difficulty for content I have to repeat over and over again. If there are difficulty-related achievements, I'm playing at that difficulty. I see someone here is an achievement, you know, hunter. So as I've gotten older, I've also realized that every game needs to be a challenge. Thank God. Sometimes I just want to kick back and relax. And so after a hard day's work, I'll decide today is going to be an easy difficulty day. No wonder he plays Division 2 all the time. It's a joke. Kev, what are your thoughts about what Goonie and Wildy said? Got anything to add?
Not really. It's just, I guess sometimes it just depends on how I'm feeling, but for me it typically boils down to the type of game I'm playing. You know, that will determine the difficulty for me.
Yeah, it makes sense. Joe?
Both Goonie and Wildy had good points. I was actually listening to another podcast today talking about difficulty, and I never thought of it this way. But they were looking at difficulty in the way that, okay, I'm playing as, for instance, they were talking about Spider-Man 2. And they said Spider-Man is generally a badass, so I'm expecting the character to be super strong, so I'm going to play it at the easiest difficulty. They're taking difficulty not in the aspect of how the creators want it, but how they're intending and expecting based on the type of game that they're playing or the character that they're playing on there. So I thought that was kind of interesting to take a look at. Yeah, because like I said, I'm playing a superhero game, so I'm expecting to be a big, strong badass. I don't have to sit here and struggle on a superhero game. So it's like, I never thought of it that way before, where they're going to take a look at the game and the actual character that they're playing and kind of make a decision as far as what setting they're going to use based on that. So I thought that was kind of a interesting take on there. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty funny. Go ahead, Kev.
You know what game captures Spider-Man better than any Spider-Man game that's ever hit the market?
Which one?
Web of Shadows. Because that's exactly how it plays. There is no enemy that you come in contact with Spider-Man with. And it's been so long since I played Web of Shadows. I can't remember if it had a difficulty selection or not. But that game really is, now is it as good as, you know, what, you know, the Sony exclusive ones are? No. From a technical standpoint, no. From a combat standpoint, not even close. But it is the definitive game version of Spider-Man, meaning that dudes coming up when you're playing the 2018 or Miles Morales or Spider-Man 2, and you got these dudes coming up at you with riot shields. I mean, what? Spider-Man can lift, what, 20, 30 tons? Some dude with a riot shield is not going to give him a problem. They make it a problem for, you know, difficulty's sake in the 2018, in the new Spider-Man games. Web of Shadows does not have that problem. You run through everybody like a hot knife through butter. No problem, because that's what Spider-Man does, right? He's not going to have any real problems with anybody that he comes across. You even fight Wolverine in that game, and Wolverine is no problem. Why? Because he's got spider sense. Why? Because Spider-Man can lift, what, 20, 30 tons. Of course Wolverine's not going to be a big problem for him.
Yeah, I mean, not lying. So.
Yeah, and maybe like Hulk Ultimate Destruction as well. You know, that's another game that probably kind of fit the mold as far as giving you the feeling of a badass superhero if need be. So
cool. Well, first and foremost, I want to say thank you to everyone who came out to respond to our question. You guys are awesome. And stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll have another main event and vessel line question. If you want to learn how you can join in on the conversation, please wait till the end of the show, and Kev will show you how you can join our Discord. But you know who follows me? It's the Jabroni Gaming News.
All right, thank you, Dez.
Okay, you're welcome, sir.
So we're going to kind of cover some things. There was a lot of news in these last couple of weeks, but we're going to first start off with the Nintendo Partner Direct Showcase. And so there's quite a bit of games that were announced. We're not going to cover everyone, but they're kind of hit on the major points if need be, and then we'll kind of circle around, see what games kind of spoke to you guys during this partner direct on here. So surprise, Xbox's Grounded got announced as the first game as far as this partner showcase, and so it's coming out on April 16th for the Switch, also coming out for PlayStation as well on that date. Xbox separately, just to get this out of the way because it's not part of the news outline, did formally announce all four games that were talked about coming out for other platforms. So Hi-Fi Rush is coming out for PlayStation 5. Obsidian's Pentiment came out the same day and date as the Nintendo Direct Partner Showcase on there for both the Switch and PlayStation, and then Sea of Thieves is also coming out for PlayStation consoles, PlayStation 5, I believe, on there. It looks like Hi-Fi Rush missed the Switch for some reason, so it might be until Switch 2, so we'll have to see about that. But I know all of us, if we wanted to play Grounded, guess what? We're going to play it on our Xbox if need be. And I think from what we talked about, Honey, I Shrunk the Blank. I'm not going to mention
that. Black folks?
Honey, I Shrunk the White Folks. Yeah, there you go. So that's Grounded. So that's good for that Nintendo audience. We'll see how it runs if need be. But also shown was a trailer for Unicorn Overlord from Atlas on there. So this is the VanillaWare strategy game, coming out actually this week on March the 8th. This one is coming out, but the demo dropped for all platforms, including PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, along with PC, of course. So I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I was kind of eager to kind of check it out. I already had the game pre-ordered. Are you interested in this, Dez, at all? Unicorn Overlord? Or are you kind of?
I am. Well, I am. I'm thinking about picking it up. It's just that name, though. That name is bananas.
Oh, I know.
Woo! But yeah, I'm probably going to pick it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw the Super the Greatest Edition with all sorts of doodads. No steelbook, I know.
I know you did.
Good times. So.
I know you did, sir.
Man and his money. Burning his money.
Will soon part. I know.
Also, what got announced was kind of a surprise, but Monster Hunter Stories is getting an HD remaster. So the remake is fully voiced. It has updated HD graphics. It includes a new museum features. So it is coming out for the Switch and also on PlayStation 4 and also on Steam. So coming out summer 2024 on there. So I know from what we've talked about, you talked about this game in the past, Dez. It's been on my backlog, my pile of shame on there. I've never played Monster Hunter Stories at all. So you got any words for me as far as, are you looking forward to this bad boy?
Oh, I'm going to pick it up. And I really hope that they reissue they're not going to, but I really wish they would reissue the amiibos for it, because I think that would be like fantastic, because now they are kind of hard to find, and one of the things I'm going to try to do when I'm in Japan is try to find them at a good price.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a good game. If you like RPGs and you like Monster Hunter, I think it's a faithful marriage of the two. I got pretty far in it but never beat it, but now because it's on the Switch, I'm definitely gonna get it, and I'll definitely play it and I'll have to see if I can get into it and beat it this time around. But I'm definitely going to buy it.
Yeah, I'll have to see. I already have Monster Hunter Stories 2 on the Switch, so I'll probably get the physical, if they have a physical. Something tells me they might not, or limited to Japan, possibly, so I'll have to see on there if that's the case. You know, I think there's enough of an audience for that to bring it out physically, but Capcom's kind of weird with their smaller titles on there. I'm definitely not counting on a PlayStation physical in the U.S.
No.
At least now.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
No, this is coming out for Switch only.
Oh no,
my niece loved this game, so if they do have a physical edition, I'll get it for her. She played it on the DS?
Yeah, the 3DS.
The 3DS, yeah, she loved it. So I think she'd really enjoy playing it on her Switch too. So
yeah, we'll see. Hopefully there's a physical, so.
Yeah, I know. I think there's gonna be a physical, but I think it's only gonna be for the Switch.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what's up. I know there's definitely not going to be a PC physical.
No.
I'm kind of curious to play it on Steam, but, you know, it's like, I don't think it's a game that's going to clamor for
the greatest. Yeah, that's not a... I mean, it might show up on Steam at some point, but not, like, immediately. I just don't think, like you're saying, this is not a Steam-rich game.
No, it is coming out for Steam, for PC, though. It's coming out for Steam.
That's what I mean, but I'm like, I don't think it's going to, like, it's not going to have a big enough following to make it have a physical PC.
Oh, yeah,
physical.
There's no physical.
Yeah, it's like, no. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's, I just don't even think that that's even, like, in the conversation.
Yeah, you're never going to see a physical release for a PC game ever again.
No, not anymore, no.
They'd have to put like a flash drive with the game on. there's no PCs with CD drives anymore, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But all right. They also announced a remake for Epic Mickey Rebrushed from THQ. Good old Embracer is partnering up with Disney to come out with this remaster. It's coming out for the Switch, also for all platforms, Xbox, PlayStation and PC on there. So this is like the Epic Mickey game that was brought out on the Wii that had horrible motion controls. So a lot of people were looking forward to it because of the fact that they liked the game, how the game looked on the Wii back in the day, but they thought the motion controls were kind of ass. And so it'd be kind of cool to see how they kind of translate this over to actual regular like analog controls and see how it plays. So
I was interested in this because I had Epic Mickey on the Wii,
yep,
and it was a nightmare to control.
Yep.
It sucked. I kind of wish I would have held on to it because it's a pretty nice little price point on eBay nowadays. But it played terribly, but it looked really cool. The game itself looked like it was going to be fun, but I couldn't get the brush to paint where I wanted it to, and that was the biggest issue. I would wind up dying because I couldn't get the paint to go where it needed to go.
Yeah, it's just it was not like I wanted to like it, and I don't have very good memories of it. That's why I'm kind of like, well, okay, let me try this on the new, you know, this new hotness and see how it goes. So I will definitely pick it up at some point. I just know that I will, you know.
I'll keep an eye out for it, you know. It's not going to be a day one for me, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, no.
I'm not a Disney stan, so.
Wow.
I got the Epic Mickey statue that came with the deluxe edition.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Still on my show.
I know.
Well, there you
go. Next game they announced something that I was kind of looking at, probably not for either of you two, but the Shin Megami Tensei V Vengeance. It's coming out on June 21st, and a lot of people were like applauding the announcement of this game, not for the Switch version, mind you, but the fact that it's coming out multi-plat on both PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, because the base Shin Megami Tensei 5 is like one of the games that are just runs super crappy on the Switch. like, you know, talking about 20 frames a second, not really made for that system. And so now you get to play it on a big boy system with all sorts of doodads and
be able to play big boy system
60 frames a second. This reissue, you're able to play the original campaign, and then Vengeance obviously is a side campaign that adds to the original game with an additional campaign on top. And is retailing for a nice $59.99. Sega is bringing the Steelbook edition coming out.
Ooh.
So for even Xbox gets a physical Steelbook. What? Huh? What?
Xbox? Who are you fooling?
Yep. Coming out also for Switch. Switch gets a Steelbook, but guess what? I'm going to buy this on PlayStation. Thank you so much. So,
of course you are. Big old hater.
I know. I know. Especially if I have to run a game on the emulator that Nintendo's going to shut down and have it adequately run on some sort of system. So, you know, I got to wait for that Switch 2 to come save the day with back compat, you know. So.
Let's go.
Let's go. Also shown, Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection. So that is both Battlefront 1 and Battlefront 2. I'm not talking about the recent Battlefront games from EA. These are the games that were originally developed back in the day for, like, I think, original Xbox or Xbox. Yeah, original Xbox and PlayStation 2. And so these games are kind of held in higher regard. They're kind of fun, kind of multiplayer kind of craziness. It's a Pandemic Studio was the studio that brought developed Battlefield 1 and 2 from back in the day. Same developer that brought you like stuff like Saboteur and Mercenaries. So I'm kind of curious about this collection. I'll see how it plays. It's coming out March 14th. You know, if I see it cheap enough, I don't think either of you two are probably interested in it, right?
No.
Got it. All right. Another game that's kind of crazy is Bandai Namco is actually bringing out a Gundam Breaker game in the U.S. and Western territory. So Gundam Breaker 4 is coming out in the summer for Switch, PlayStation, PC. And so Gundam Breaker is kind of a thing where you're actually able to go in and make your own Gundam based on parts, like if you were putting together a model kit and then running it through like battle simulations, basically. So,
I'm here for it. It looks good. I mean, I like the idea of being able to create your own Gundams. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm curious how it plays. If it's like an action, like a robot, like kind of, more of a more casual action game, I think I'll be there for it, you know. I don't know if it plays like a Musou game, like if it's going to be Dynasty Wars Gundam-ish.
Well, what I was looking at is you play various different parts of various
Gundam storylines.
Yeah. So it's not like you are playing. So I'm here for just being able to create really super cool mechs.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Gundam Breaker 3 actually came out in English, so there's an English copy, but it never came out for the U.S. or Europe. You know, you could get an Asian version that's totally in English, so it might be a thing that we'll look out for in Japan, possibly. So,
yeah.
All right, another game that was shown, Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time. So this is like Level 5 is back, and this is the first game that they have brought out in quite a bit of time. So this comes out on October 10th on here. Dez, are you excited for the new Fantasy Life?
I don't know. I think I am, but I'm not totally sure yet. I played a lot of the first one, and I'm not really sure what to expect with this one. I'm kind of like, I don't know. Let's just put it like that. I don't know just yet if I'm excited or not for it. It still has that Level 5, you know, look to it, but at the same time, I'm not sure. So I'm just gonna put a pin in it and see a little bit more about it and then go from there, because I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it's been a minute since they released the game. It's been a while.
A long time.
Snack World was the last one that really got released, and so they kind of got stuck in a kind of Android iOS type deal, and they released like Yo-Kai Watch 4 in the Japan and Asian territories, but of course Yo-Kai Watch was never super popular, so it never got any kind of a release, and so from there they've been just releasing games in Japan basically
exclusively. Yeah, Japan only. So,
yeah, so you know, I know they closed their U.S. division too, so it's just kind of crazy to see that this is going to be the one. I'm curious if Nintendo's publishing this one, so we'll see. So a game that got shadow dropped on the Direct was a game called Penny's Big Breakaway on here. This is from the team behind Sonic Mania, and so they decided that they didn't want to do the work for the Blue Furry Man and decided to do their own thing, because I think Sega wasn't allowing them to work on further Sonic games. So game looks pretty cool. It kind of is a reminder. It reminds me of a like a GameCube like action platformer on there. So, and people have been talking good about this. So I don't know.
If it looks fun.
I'm gonna buy it at some point. Yeah. So
I'm thinking about buying it too. Like, it really looked good. I was like, oh wow, this is fun. It's got that kind of classic. It had that classic look to it, but at the same time it looked it just had a nice look to it, so I was like, okay, let's do this, you know.
Yeah, also they showed Devolver Studios Pepper Grinder, which has been like kind of lauded as being a kind of spiritual successor to like that GBA game Drill Dozer on here. So that's demos got shadow dropped during the partner showcase, and it's coming out on March 28th. There was a shadow drop for Pocket Card Jockey Ride On. So if you ever wanted to do race horses and play solitaire, this is a 3DS port from Game Freak on there, and that got shadow dropped with the games like on the Switch eShop for $15, and there's a demo just in case if you want to check her out. Contra Operation Galuga, which is kind of a retelling of the Contra story, if there's such a thing of a Contra story. But
hey, Contra had a story.
Yes, it does. So WayForward is bringing this one. I have already heard from listening to another podcast that the Switch version runs like
hot garbage,
like an old refrigerator out in the back.
Why are you doing this to me, Switch?
So the podcast I was listening to said they loaded the demo that dropped with this partner direct on the PlayStation, and it ran perfectly well on the PlayStation 5. So I have downloaded the demo, and I have not played it yet, but I'm curious to check it out because I like Contra. I like WayForward. I think they do good work, obviously not on the Switch, but you know, who can do good work on
it? You got to give them something to work with. You got to give them something to work with.
That's true. You do. And they're like, hey, guess what? You want to work with us? And you're like, I don't know, sir.
And then they ended the Direct. This is with a Nintendo game, even though it was a partner showcase. They revealed Endless Ocean Luminous on here. So this is a series that was originally on the Wii. There was two versions of this game on the Wii. And basically it is a like a underwater exploration game on here. So you're out there basically in the water exploring and spotting species of marine life on here. What's cool about this version is that you're able to play it multiplayer, so you could play it along with up to 30 other players. So
damn,
if you ever want to swim in the ocean and find marine life, like, you know, I could see like me and you Dez, maybe Goonie. I don't know if Kev, you want to dive in the ocean look for marine life or not.
No, I'm good.
He's gonna want to kill him.
No harpoon. No, we can't kill at will underneath the water.
No, I wouldn't want to kill. I wouldn't want to kill whales. No, that wouldn't be fun.
No, that wouldn't be actually. Be like that. Yeah, that'd be no bueno. Why are you saying stuff like that, Joe?
Don't I'm bloodthirsty, but I'm bloodthirsty for certain stuff.
I ain't trying to kill someone. Come up with the Aquaman beat him up underneath the water.
You know what? That would be a badass thing. An Aquaman game in like VR. People get motion sickness for real.
Imagine fighting Black Manta in VR. Man, oh man, oh man.
No, thank you.
Okay. All right, other news, Riot Games, free-to-play 2v2 tag team fighting game, Project L, has finally got a title on here. So it's called 2XKO on there, and Riot is going to be launching the game for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, and PC in 2025. So you have to wait till next year for 2KO on here. I know, Kev, you enjoyed Project L when we played at EVO last year.
Me and Ren had fun playing it, so that's going to be another one that we're going to be jumping into. I'm honestly glad it's not coming out anytime soon, because I've got my hands full with Tekken right now. So
I have a bet. Jeez.
Yeah, so I'm glad this one is going to be baking for a while longer. So.
Well, I don't know if you know, but another game that Shadow dropped yesterday was the next-gen version for Dragon Ball FighterZ. So there is a PS5 and Xbox Series version of that game that came out yesterday. And also, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 is coming out for current-gen consoles. It's coming out for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series consoles on May 24th on here. You're able to transfer your save data from the PlayStation 4 or Xbox One versions of the game, and it is going to be a free upgrade on there as well. So I don't know if anyone out there's obviously there's enough people out there still playing this game to warrant the current gen version on there. I never played Xenoverse 2. I'm kind of curious about it. Is it any good, Kev, or did you dabble with it at all?
I think Damon had it. I don't like the Xenoverse games, because when you're playing, you're just, it's almost like you're playing Ace Combat with Dragon Ball characters, because all you really see are like these target reticles until you get up close, and then the combat, the melee combat feels very poorly. They're like, there's no impact. Like a Kamehameha has the same impact as a punch. You just see them go ooh, and then they fly away from you, and then you go into the reticle thing and you're locking on and shooting your energy blast. I just could not get into that, into Xenoverse. I have no interest in Xenoverse 2. Dragon Ball FighterZ, it's like, okay, how much better is it really going to look compared from the PS4 to the PS5? It's not going to really look any better. In my mind, it's we're still waiting for rollback code for the net code.
Rollback rolled out with this update.
Oh, so it did? Okay.
Rollback is available, and it's also available on the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series version. So,
but there's no further updates coming. They've basically said this is it, and they have given no indication that they're even working or sniffing near FighterZ 2. So I'm really disappointed in that. I don't understand why they seem to have just kicked this game to the curb, because it sold well. People like the updates. They were pushing for rollback code from the jump, which it took them forever to get that together. Sales wise, I mean, when you look at and I can't remember who it was that did the research on this. When you look at the factor in length of period for the game being out, FighterZ sold more than Xenoverse. And it's like, why are y'all putting all this money in still in support of 2, and you're letting FighterZ literally die on the vine? It just really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, I mean, for those who are still playing it, I'm happy for them, but I won't be playing it.
I know Sparking Zero is coming out, but that's from the developers that did Jump Force. So
yeah, and people are already saying that's trash. So I'm I am not encouraged at all with Sparking Zero from what I've seen, because no one's really, you know, people really haven't even seen the gameplay. We've just seen cutscene trailers, no real gameplay. And I think the last thing I heard about it, somebody claimed to know somebody whose uncle's cousin's nephew has played an early build of the game, and it's trash. But given who's behind it, I'm more inclined to believe that than to have a whole lot of hope for it. Yeah. And that's
unfortunate. Well, there you go.
There's my answer. There's my answer. Kotaku had an article a couple days ago, kind of hits home for me and Dez a little bit, because it looks like Gearbox is going to escape the Embracer fallout on here. So current rumors is that Gearbox is going to be sold to another company on there. So, and we don't know who yet, but that the deal is in the quote-unquote late stages of being finalized.
Hold up. You hear that? You hear that truck backing up with Phil in it?
Let's hope not. I think they have enough to worry about integrating Activision and Blizzard.
They can't get that right yet.
Whoa, damn, Kev. I mean, Joe, damn, all y'all just savage on a brother Phil. Come on, Phil's over here trying to make moves, folks.
Well, aren't you dealing with, like, you know, a thumb drive at the, like, what, the medieval times, man? You know, I don't know. Maybe he should go to Microsoft. Who knows?
I mean, hey, I don't know. Someone's going to have to buy them. So it either be Phil or somebody. Like, I don't know who else is gonna, you know, put the money in for it. Like, I Sony? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it could be like a Saudi Arabian conglomerate of some sort. You know, they've been getting into gaming lately. It's a, I can't remember the name of the conglomerate, but they own SNK, controlling shares in SNK now. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a console maker. It could just be a conglomerate.
That conglomerate that you're referencing, Kev, actually was supposed to give Embracer like $3 billion for all these companies that they were buying. They pulled out at the last minute because it's probably because they saw the crap that Embracer was doing. So
they're like you didn't get it that bad.
They're like, nah, we'll hold on to this money.
You know. Like once they probably looked at that. What do you got coming up, Embracer, for our $3 billion? Oh, Saints Row 2023.
Wow.
Oh man,
Elix 2, Elix 3.
We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Destroy All Humans 3.
We're gonna work on this SNK over here. You keep that over there.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Yep. So, but let's see what's up with Gearbox. You know, right now it's stated that they have a few games in the works on there. It looked that they're working on new IP, but as soon as they saw how good the eating was on the Embracer side, they decided to just make more Borderlands games for 2K. So they're working on the sequel to Borderlands 3 and also a sequel to Tiny Tina.
I'm here for Tiny Tina's. I don't know about Borderlands. They need to get new writers or something. So if they get new writers, then maybe, but...
Yeah, they were working on a new IP, but they decided to go ahead and get in while the getting was good on there. But they have, quote-unquote, lost some senior people because of all the upheaval about the new IP being shelved, and as far as the money at Embracer obviously not being there to support the studio if need be. So we'll have to see what goes on with Gearbox on here. So, and then cap off this Jabroni Gaming news, No Rest for the Wicked, that game that's coming out from Moon Studios, is in early access for PC on April the 18th on here. So it is a looter RPG being brought up by the Ori developers. And so they are going to release the game on Steam on April the 18th. Not going to come out for console until it is ready for the 1.0 release on both PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series platforms on there. But they showed a little more details. They said that the world is handcrafted, rich in details on here, kind of similar to the art style of Ori as far as their kind of patented style. There is going to be randomized loot on there. So kind of getting on there. You do have to do housing crafting in the game as well, and there is going to be an in-game plan for the game as well. So I like the looks of the game, so I'll probably be there day one once it's on console. I don't know, is this something you were thinking about doing early access on, Des?
Early access on? Probably. I know I don't like early access. I've told you this before. It can be kind of like hit or miss, but I have a good feeling about this game. It looks good, and I kind of want to support it. You know,
yeah.
I anything that looks like this, and from a studio, Moon Studios, just looks, you know, I guess like the background. If you I watched some of the background that was said, and I guess they've paid like over like just a ton of ARPGs, and they wanted to make an ARPG for so long, and now they have the ability to do it, and I'm like, you know what, let's do this. So I'm all for people going out there and doing what they you know really believe is like, oh, we really want to be wanting to do this. And given the pedigree that they have, I do think that it would be fantastic. So I'm thinking about doing it, you know.
I'll have to see how well it runs on the Steam Deck, or maybe see. I've been really thinking about maybe upgrading them. I have my PC that's been like sitting here since 2018, buy at Walmart, so it's not exactly the greatest to begin with, and seeing how maybe a good mid-tier PC might look out for me. Wanting to get my PC hooked up to my 48-inch OLED, and so I'm gonna give PC gaming a shot, I think, coming up. So that's what I'm wanting to do, and especially I think if I start gaming on PC more, it might get my addiction from buying physical games out the door, and I'll be buying games for the simple point of playing them versus hoarding. But you know, that's a whole other discussion. So.
Maybe.
Yep. But that is the Jabroni Gaming news for this episode. We will talk about all this wonderful layoff stuff next episode. So sorry we ran out of time. I actually wanted to keep it on the up and up and talk about games this time versus all this business stuff. Business. Yep.
So, yeah.
All right. So, thank you for that news, Jabroni Chief. Game nights take place every Thursday, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. Thursday nights is the day of the week that we set aside to play games with our growing Discord community. So, if you like what's going on here on the podcast and you'd like to hook up and join us on game nights, all you have to do is mention what game you want to play, and if we don't already have it, we can get a hold of it, and we'll play it with you on Thursday evenings. So you might be asking, how do you join the Discord server? That's easy. You just head on over to the app formerly known as Twitter, currently known as X, and you go to @GamingVessels, GamingVessels, click the link in the bio, and you're in, so you don't have a waiting period. And there's no Patreon tier list to pay for. We just click the link, you're in. No nonsense. And that's the way we're going to keep it. So if any of that sounds good to you, we would highly encourage you to not only join us for Thursdays, but join our Discord community. We've got a lot of cool people talking about games without the nonsense that's going on a much larger social media platform. So again, highly encourage you to join us every Thursday. Kudos go out to those who responded to our vessel line this episode. Big thank yous to Ren, Will D, and Goonie for adding to this episode. Really appreciate you guys hanging out and interacting with us in the Discord. And big thank yous for responding to our vessel line this week. So with all that said, that's going to bring episode 240 to a close. We want to thank y'all for chilling out with us. So for Dez, a.k.a. the Bay Area Terror, a.k.a. the High Res Lover.
That's me.
A.k.a. the Cat Daddy, a.k.a. that Gamer Step Daddy. And for Trader Joe, a.k.a. Jabroni Chief.
Yeah, yeah.
Who you might also know as the Food Max of Gaming, who can maximize your gaming dollar. I'm Shona71, a.k.a. Digga Doolamite.
That purple bling bling, y'all. We gotta do our bits, y'all.
And we'll be back next time, episode 241 for your ears. Thanks for hanging out with us. Peace.